Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin, and of course I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Oh, look at that. It's like 2012 again, or 2011. You're back to your old setup.
All I did was like turn, you know.
We've gone back in time. Look at us. We're both wearing blue. We got our Microsoft blue on, and
yep.
Somebody wrote that in an email. He goes, Paul's always wearing a Microsoft blue.
Microsoft blue.
I didn't know that they own Navy.
I like that it's Microsoft blue.
I mean, it could be, it could be, you know, Linux blue.
Sure. It's not.
It's not. Yeah. What are you doing in there? You're redoing the studio? The office?
Yeah. I had to consider that term studio. Yeah. I guess for a while now I've been kind of turning, I guess it would be this way. And I don't know if I'm going to leave it in this position. I think I'm going to though, but I'm going to, I have a really large L-shaped desk back here, which you can kind of see. And actually where that black monitor is behind me is the way I would normally face.
Yeah.
Or have been facing for some time. But I'm going to wipe all that stuff out. So I bought a standing desk just to kind of see how I might orient it in here.
So are you standing right now?
No.
You're sitting.
It's actually kind of awkward to set. It's because of the way it's jammed. The problem is, of course, I do this right before the holidays, right? So I'm building all this stuff out in the living room and everything. And my wife's like, you know, we're going to put up a Christmas tree. So time to get out of here. So I just kind of pulled it in but I'm gonna wipe that stuff out and replace it with smaller.
You're not on the Heil microphone. What are you on? The ATR-21.
So I'm on the mic, right? Because you can probably see the Heil microphone. I don't know if you can see.
Do me a favor. Tap on that mic for me.
Make sure I'm using the right.
Yeah, you're on the right one. Look at that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how. Does it sound okay?
Yeah, you're just a little far. If you make it a little closer.
The problem is I can't really get.
Yeah, because it comes with that little tiny stand.
Yeah, so I think what I'm gonna do is I was just looking at this. It's funny because it has like a standard mic interface.
It does, yeah.
And actually, you can, if you just put me on for a second.
Yeah.
You can see, well, you can barely see.
Yeah, there's a mic stand back there.
There's a mic stand.
Yeah.
So I could potentially mount that on there.
You could, yeah.
And just, yeah, I might do. I'll figure that. Or I'll just bring in the Heil mic.
It's fine. So you sound great. I mean, it's a little roomy, but that's fine. You're far away from it, but it's. But listen,
I'm as
guys,
close as I can be to it. Actually, it's kind of funny. Like,
you could even hold it. Like, you could be like a host.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Actually, look. So this will be a little strange for you because it's going to be upside down. But the way this is oriented, it's like right. It's right as far into the.
You know, you could raise that also. It comes with a little razor. You could rise it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. If you unscrew it, it just rises up. This is a great part of podcasting, guys. This is the behind-the-scenes stuff that most people don't see.
I don't see how. What do you mean, raise it? How could I do
it? It comes like it's supposed to come out a little bit.
No, I think this is just.
I could swear to you it did. They might have changed it.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could. Yeah.
Listen, that microphone is phenomenal. It's.
Yeah.
I want to say $50. Sometimes it's on sale for $34. It's called the ATR-2100. It does USB and XLR.
There's a lot going on with it. It has
it does internal monitoring also.
You can put headphones into it, which is actually not how I have it connected right now, but only because I have speakers and it's just easier to have one set of speakers. But it has like a USB connection, right? So it just works with the computer directly, which is actually really nice.
Yeah.
Or you can connect it through a standard mic cable.
It's one of my favorite mics. I recommend that to everybody. If you're looking for a secondary mic or you're looking just for something for your studio, or you know, you just want to play around with some new microphones, I highly, highly suggest it. I put a link in the chat room. It's called the ATR-2100. There's also the AT2005. It's a black version of it with a different pop filter. It's the same exact microphone. It's phenomenal.
The only thing I might change is I'm going to put a little. There's like a really bright.
I highly suggest you tape over that thing because it's blinding.
You turn off all the lights in your office and like the only thing that's lit up is that.
Yeah, that thing is just glowing. I mean, it's like I live in a spaceship anyway, so everything's glowing in this room anyway. How was your holiday, Paul? How was Thanksgiving for you?
It was pretty good. You know, I stayed in. We didn't I normally go and see friends on Thanksgiving morning. I didn't end up doing that. I was sick and my friend that I go with was sick as well. But it was quiet. It was nice. And then, you know, over the weekend, I did some stuff that was very atypical for me. Like I raked leaves and I, you know, built this desk and everything. So it was kind of like,
I would love to see homeowner Paul in all his glory.
I'm really proud of my front lawn right now. In fact, I almost want to take pictures of it. Like I, you know, I raked everything and then I mowed it to get rid of the excess stuff. And it's like all perfect looking.
I would love to just see you doing like regular mundane housework.
Yeah, just kind of stand there with my hands on my hips and survey all that.
Just like
fine,
looking at the grass and, you know, just like homeowner Paul.
Neighbors are driving by and I'm just kind of.
I have a friend.
Here I am maintaining the standard.
Weekend Paul is very different than weekday Paul. I have a friend,
Actually,
Chauncey.
That's normally not the case, but.
My friend Chauncey Hayden, he's a gossip columnist in New York. He wrote for The Post and he's the editor of this magazine. And, you know, he does like all these celebrity interviews and he's like always out and doing this. And then on the weekends, there's weekend Chauncey. He wears like a nice sweater, and he's wearing khakis, and he goes out to brunch. He's like a very different human being. It's unbelievable to witness. It's alarming. It's a little alarming. So I kind of do not want to see weekend Paul. I don't want to know what he's like.
Paul is there's really normally not much of a differentiation.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about, guys, today. Yeah. A lot of stuff happening. I have a little unboxing I'm going to do here on the show. I just got a package right before we went on the air, so I'm going to do that. Paul's going to talk about his new PC build. We have a lot happening. But before we do that, I want to thank everybody that's been watching us throughout the last couple of years. You guys have been tremendous. People that are using our Amazon link, that's gfq.co/Amazon. Whenever you're making a purchase this holiday season, bookmark that link. Click on that link and buy whatever you're buying, because it is a tremendous, tremendous help here. Things like Paul's secondary microphone came from you guys. Every time you buy something, I get a small little credit, and we use that for further expansion over here at the GFQ Network. You know, all these lights, all these monitors, these cameras even, all came from Amazon, you know, because you guys use those links. It doesn't cost you anything. GFQ.co/Amazon. Continue using that link. Also, we do a bonus show following this show each and every week. It's called What the Talk. Just Paul and I talking like we normally do before and after a show. But we decided we're going to make this into a little bit of a show because people really enjoy the back and forth, you know, behind the scenes stuff. And I actually enjoy, you know, listen to people in broadcasting talk when they're not on the air. It's very different. If you want to listen to that, you obviously, if you're watching live, you could do it each and every week. We broadcast that for free live. But if you want to watch it on demand, you could do so by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. We have a funding page there. You can fund us whatever you want, and you get access to that show each and every week right after this, after a couple hours you post it on there. That's patreon.com/whatthetech. Also, support us on Amazon, gfq.co/Amazon. So, Paul.
Sure.
Let's talk about this. Which stage of grief are you in? Have you hit the fifth and final stage yet? In the Windows Phone grief stage?
For Windows Phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hit that stage a long time ago. I was amused this morning to discover belatedly that some others are joining me in the fifth stage.
Yeah.
So,
you are in the acceptance stage where this is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, I think in this case in particular, and I don't mean to suggest that I'm particularly insightful in any way, but, you know, I looked at what Microsoft announced back in July. I wrote some very pointed analysis of it, and which many people sort of read and say, oh, you know, you're so negative and it's not that bad, and you know, it's like, guys, this isn't about being negative, this is about just accepting what's really happening in the world. And I talked to Microsoft in the wake of that stuff, and they told me point blank, you're absolutely right, you know, we have conceded the smartphone market to Apple and Google, and, you know, Google's partners. You know, that doesn't mean that they're not going to keep making smartphones. It doesn't mean that things couldn't change in the future. Obviously, smartphones are a big thing right now. They will become less big over time. We'll see what the next big thing is as we move forward. Microsoft wants to, you know, have a play in the game, so to speak. So it's not over or anything. But, you know, I sort of looked at what's going on with Windows 10 Mobile and, you know, maybe more specifically with the Lumia 950 and the 950 XL.
Yeah.
In a way that, I mean, of course, I would describe it in complimentary fashion because it's, you know, I'm talking about myself, but I sort of think of it as more realistic, you know, than negative. And, you know, I think for a lot of people who are enthusiasts of the platform, it's hard to accept that this thing's going south, despite all of the evidence, you know, the 1.7% market share. Microsoft's lack of desire to market these new phones in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they don't really have a go-to-market strategy per se. They just kind of release them and,
so,
you know, it doesn't really matter.
Where do we go from here? I mean, it's 2015. They just released two new phones.
Yeah.
They have, you know, an entire year ahead of them with a brand new operating system that's about to come out.
So, yeah, it's not possible to kind of predict the future. I mean, the thing I would say is if you're a fan of the platform, the good news is perfectly viable flagship class devices exist. They have great cameras. They're thin and they're light. You can replace the backs and get leather backs or other materials in the back. It's really kind of a neat capability. They have unique features that are not available in other phones, like Continuum, especially Windows Hello, sign in, and other things. And so there's some neat stuff going on there. I think anyone who uses Windows Phone knows that this app gap is a very real thing, and they've decided that they can live without certain apps or whatever. They don't care for whatever reason. And so it's fine. But I think the days of, you know, this is the thing that's going to get us to beat the iPhone, or this is the thing that, you know, you got to kind of give that stuff up.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
Nobody's beating the, I mean, not for a while. I don't think anybody's beating the iPhone. And even though Android has significant market share, we're not talking about one phone that has significant market share. That phone is the iPhone. That phone is still grand pooba of the smartphone market. You know, when you're talking
about
bestsellers.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And not just bestsellers, but, you know, money makers and profit makers and all that kind of stuff. Some of this stuff is hard because I spend a lot of time with all these phones. I just got a Google Nexus 5X, which is it's a nice phone.
Yeah, I saw you. And you have a little hands-on, you know, first impression on your website on Therat.com right now.
I actually, you know, it's funny. One of the things I really like about it, if you can, you know, you won't be able to see this, all of it, but just by, you know, by holding it normally and you press your finger on, you know, the fingerprint reader is on the back. It signed me in as I did that. You couldn't see it, obviously.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah. Just by, so even when this thing, when this is off, the screen is off, you know, just put it on me real quick.
There it is. Oh, sorry. There you go.
You know, if you, by me putting my finger on the, and touching the back, it signs in.
Yeah.
And I, you know, technologically, that's maybe not as advanced as a Windows Hello type thing, but practically, it's kind of a better approach. It works better. And, you know, these are the kinds of problems I think that Microsoft has with the Lumia 950 in particular, but, you know, maybe with Windows Phone in general. So the thing I would just say about the future is that, you know, I think Windows 10 is going to be a big deal within the confines of what it is. I think that a billion users at some point, you know, years down the road is absolutely possible. I think most of them are going to be on non-phone devices, I guess would be the way I would say it. But, you know, whatever. Let's say there'll be a billion of them at some point. Next year can go in different ways. I mean, we know, and I mean, it is an absolute fact that Microsoft is working on something that is a Surface phone. Now, whether that phone comes out or whether there are multiple models and whether it means it's going to be Intel instead of Qualcomm-based or ARM-based, you know, that's speculation. And that's one of those things we'll have to wait and see. But that's something, you know, in the same way that we were looking forward to the 950, 950 XL for months, and we have this thing to kind of look ahead to, the next thing we can look ahead to is this Surface phone. And maybe people will hold out hope for that, and I would caution you against that kind of thing.
But, let me speculate a little bit on this, on the Surface phone.
Yeah.
We know that something will be coming.
Well, we know that they're working on it. Now, it doesn't mean something is coming because, you know, plans change. Just to interject real quick, I suppose the negative thing that could happen is now it's next July and Microsoft has worked up one or more Surface phone models and the senior leadership team gets together and they're looking at this stuff to determine what they're going to release in the fall. And maybe by this point, we're talking about like a Surface Pro 5, a Surface Book 2, Surface phone, and they're kind of looking at it and they could pull a Surface Mini and say, you know what? Maybe it's time we give up on this kind of thing. You know?
So is the Lumia line, what are they doing with that department, you know, with all the people working on the Lumias? Is that going to be bye-bye?
Well, it's still there. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not called the, you know, it's not like the Lumia.
It's not the Lumia,
team,
yeah.
Right, it's Microsoft has a Windows Phone hardware team internally. And so they're part of Surface now. And they're under the same person. Panos Panay runs both teams. Actually, Panos Panay runs all of their hardware. Kind of the new Stephen Aloff, I guess, in a sense. You know, they'll look, those guys perform magic. They've done some really neat things for Surface devices. it is possible that they'll come up with a design that's unique enough that they think, okay, let's give this another year and see how it goes kind of thing. We'll see. But there's a part of me that worries about what happened this past year happening again, which is that they, you know, it's the end of the fiscal year. They're looking at everything and they say, you know what? This thing is a sinkhole. It doesn't make sense. It seems that Satya Nadella is much more reliant on profits and losses and that determining how things get to succeed. And that he may point to this thing and say, we need to stop doing this. We're just throwing money away here. It doesn't make any sense. And so that's one of the other outcomes. And so I think for right now, we have some decent devices, finally, in first time in over a year, about a year and a half, really. They have certainly not met everyone's expectations. I mean, there's no way around that. The negativity around these devices is sort of amazing to me because I think they're actually pretty nice.
Rather than 950 and 950 XL.
Yeah, for what they are, you know, yeah. Given the, you know, the context of what they are. But, you know, at some point, you know, the Surface One's going to have to be awesome. I think for it to even make sense.
That one has to be a no-brainer flagship phone when you look at this. But, you know, do you do? What can they do more than they're doing with their current 950s? I mean, it's not going to be a major, major overhaul over what they're currently doing on their 950 and 950 XL. It's going to be the small things that really take it to that level.
Yes. And, of course, those small things don't meet the fundamental problems for the platform. Although I'd point out that, you know, for a device like a Surface Pro 4 or a Surface Book, the only reason those devices are viable is because we have 20 plus years of PC stuff to build up on and that the desktop PC market exists, you know, that you can run full-blown Office on these things. You can run Photoshop on these things. You can run iTunes and Chrome and whatever. There is a modern app platform, a universal app platform on Windows 10. I don't think that matters to almost anybody. And the problem for Windows Phone is that's the only app platform, right? And so it's possible that they could turn the Surface Phone rather into a kind of a hybrid PC type thing. And that gives it kind of enough of a niche that it could exist. It could replace the Surface Mini, in a sense, by being especially the phablet version or versions of this thing if that happens, where it, you know, it works with a pen. It has that kind of a Surface build quality materials, you know, the same kind of look and feel as a Surface. It's essentially a tiny PC, Continuum dock. It is a PC. It can run PC apps.
I think the smart bet for them will be launch this with an Intel chip. You know, put an Intel chip on there. And this is great for Intel. It's incentive for Intel to kind of get their act together and get in the mobile market realistically. You know, in the phone market realistically, get into that market. And it may be a major game changer if it's running Intel and you're able to run PC games once PC applications once you dock it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has to happen for that to make sense. You know, the interesting thing, I don't really pay too much attention to this, but one of the interesting things that happened in the smartphone world, I'd say over the past year, 15 months, is that, you know, Qualcomm really kind of dropped the ball on 64-bit processors, right? I think it was the 810, the Model 810, really ran hot. A lot of phones, you know, kind of burn your hand as you use it. That kind of thing. And these devices, I think the, I lose track of all these numbers, but the Nexus 5X, the Lumia 950, both have what I think is like an 808 processor. It's a 64-bit processor. It's a hexa-core processor. Phablets have an 8-core 64-bit processor that's supposed to kind of make up for the sins of that last generation.
Yeah.
But even given what's going on with Qualcomm, you know, the Atom stuff that Intel has doesn't match what's going on the Qualcomm side, you know, for thin and light, for heat, for power management, for battery life, that kind of thing. And so it's possible that, you know, they'll come out with this thing that we've all been asking for, and it will be like a phone that gets 4 hours of battery life. And, you know, isn't quite the same thing. You know, so you know, we'll see.
I mean, aren't all phones just getting 4 hours of battery life, or is that just me with my Android phone?
It literally is just you. I'm saddened every time I see you. You walk around like it's sort of like a smoker with one of those
tethered
vapor things or whatever. It's like you can't put it down, you know.
I mean, it's horrendous, actually. Like right now, this phone was at 86% about an hour and a half ago. I enter my house, I'm at 50% right now.
It's just, I mean, I
This is just my life with these phones. And you know what? Let me tell you,
just don't have
it's no better on an iPhone in my house. It just runs out. But if I'm commuting and I'm doing a little bit of usage, phone usage, forget it. It's shooting every minute. It's every 5 minutes, it's going down 2%, 2%, 2%, 2%.
I should ask my daughter a question. I don't know if she can.
By the time I'm going home, it's over.
I don't see. Hey, Kelly. So my daughter just changed from a Windows phone to an iPhone.
Smart move.
I'm going to ask her this question point blank and she'll see if she has any answer to this. So you just changed to an iPhone. Have you noticed using the iPhone whether the battery life is worse, better, or the same as your previous phone? It seems better. And so you don't have a problem. You use this thing all day long. Do you have to ever have to plug it in while you're sitting around upstairs or whatever? Just goes all day. Now, can you repeat exactly what I say the same way I say it? Andrew?
Andrew?
You are an idiot.
It's not the first time I've been called that today.
So I don't know if you heard what she said.
I did, yeah.
She called you an idiot.
She did call me an idiot.
Well, no, I hadn't asked her that question. I was actually very interested about this anyway. You know, so 3, 4 days, 5 days, what it was, she switched the iPhone 6S. And this to the delight of her friends, you know, she can now Snapchat and
She could use it like a real teenager.
Yes.
You know what that's the equivalent of? Having a friend that didn't have cable television growing up.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, it's funny because I think for the most part, she's been very ambivalent about technology and what things she uses, and she doesn't really care. But, it's funny because she uses a real hodgepodge of stuff, you know. But she got the iPhone, and, you know, I kind of set up a couple things for her. I put her on the fan, you know, we set up a little family so she can, you know, share the apps I've already purchased and all that stuff. And she couldn't care less. But I was curious about the battery life thing. And again, I always think of you because I don't know what's going on with your phone. I don't know what you've got running in the background.
I have nothing, Paul. I have nothing. It's just, first of all, what they did with the Samsung here, I have the S6. They made the battery smaller on this.
Okay.
So, but
and it's sealed, right? This device is
sealed. Yeah, it's sealed. So
I have just never seen anyone have such terrible battery life experience.
It's horrible. I mean, it's really, now it's gotten a little better from when I first got this phone, but it still makes no sense. So right now it was at 52%, 49%. I just dropped 2% in the last 5 minutes. I mean,
I just got this phone, but you know, one of the things I did on the same vein, because I get you to kind of just do these goofy things. I just left it on unplugged, and it was fine. I mean, you get up in the morning, I could probably go all day with it and never plug it in.
Yeah.
Is that thing USB-C?
It is not USB-C. Now, QMX Monkey brings up a good point in our chat room. Yeah, by the way, guys, if you're in our chat room, you could change your nickname if you're watching live to whatever you want it to be and join in. I do live in an area. My area has virtually no service. That's a major part. Okay. But when I'm in Manhattan, I'm sitting at a bar with you and I have four bars and I'm getting, you know, everything perfectly fine.
Then it's fine.
This thing should not be, you know, dropping 2%.
I completely agree. Yeah.
It's a little bit more aggressive here.
The fact that your phone is continually trying to find a good signal is probably almost certainly what's killing the battery.
Sure. In my house.
So you should consider just getting a wireless extender for your house just to obviate this problem. I mean, that's I mean, the only times I ever have battery life issues with my phones, for the most part, is if for example, we were just in Europe and I'm on a foreign network, and for some reason that seems to strain it. If you're like using the AT&T SIM on like an Orange or whatever it is in Europe, and I have problems with particular apps on Windows Phone, for example, like the Facebook app on Windows Phone is a joke. And it can't upload photos to save its life. And I'll make the mistake of like, I have four photos to upload to Facebook. I'm going to sit here on the table. I'm just going to let it go to town. And it sits there and it never actually uploads them. But it's like when you're driving like a mid-70s station wagon up a hill and you can actually see the gas like going down as you struggle up the hill. That's what the battery life is like on that thing. It's not the phone. It's some combination. Well, I guess it technically is the phone, but it's some combination of...
Now let me just say this. Actually, I've kind of changed my tune on Android. I used my wife's iPhone for an entire day. I needed the phone, and yeah. she was like, "Oh, just take mine." Because I was having problems.
She's
with
also
mine.
You're on Verizon, right?
I'm on Verizon, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a whole different story. So I took her phone that day, and it was I felt crippled by really? By the confinement of iOS in a weird way.
Compared to Android,
because with Android, like I could have different. Obviously, you could do some of this too, but like in Android, I could set a different text messaging app if I wanted to. I could set a different camera application as my default if I wanted to. You know, you have control on the back end a little bit with like checking these defaults for things. And then like the sharing aspect, you could do more with that. With iOS, it's a little bit different. Now, I still highly recommend iOS to everybody. If you're looking to get a smartphone, there's nothing better than the iPhone, in my opinion, at this point, all around. You're going to find other things that do certain things better, but an overall package, the iPhone is your best bet. But sure. I did have some difficulty. I just felt it felt off for me, and I think part of it has to do with the fact that I've been using an Android phone for the last, you know, 5-6 years as my everyday driver, but I do think Android has gotten much, much better over the last 2 years.
No, I do too. I do too.
When we were doing the show and every day I was cursing about how I hate Android, I don't have that feeling anymore of hatred. It's working on it's like a spouse working on its problems.
Wow.
You know, they're still a little crappy every now and then, but they're working on it. They're getting there. They're trying.
Yeah, they are who they are.
Yeah. They are who they are. But
I think there's a big change going on. You know that one of the things I really in smartphones. One of the things I really liked about Windows Phone and still like about Windows Phones is that tile UI is so neat for just looking at the screen, and you know, you don't always have to dive into apps because a lot of times when you pick up your phone, you're looking for something, whatever it might be, the weather, you know, whatever it is, and a lot of that stuff isn't it. You're waiting for an email to come in. You know, on iOS or Android, you get like a little number sign unless you catch the notification. You can't really tell what the email is. And so on Windows Phone, you can. It's a nice feature. But I think for the past few years that people who use iOS and Android would tell you that, or maybe wouldn't even tell you that. They may not even think of it this way. But the UI, the user experience of those devices is really the apps that they use. And, of course, that is where they went out, you know, big time. But I think the big change that's coming is in these new UIs, these new experiences that they're building, like Google Now on Tap. And they have that kind of proactive version of Siri. And, you know, you see some of that with Cortana and Windows Phone as well. And I think that's where Android really wins out, because the stuff they're doing in Google Now on Android is amazing.
I was one of these people that said, who wants to speak to their phone? Who wants to do that? I do it every single day. I talk to Google Now. Every single day.
Sometimes it even talks back.
Sometimes it talks back. Yeah, like I had to put something in my calendar. I just had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and I had to put it in the calendar that she had another one that I had to take her to in like 2 weeks. So as I'm at the office, I go to Google Now, I click on it, and I just tell it the date, set a reminder for a doctor's appointment on the 12th, and boom, all set, all done. It's interesting. It was a slow change for me, but I think this is the case with a lot of people. You know, I spoke to someone that was using Cortana on their desktop. And this is someone that is not in the tech world. I mean, she plays games and stuff, but she's not really engulfed in it as much as we are. And she wrote this thing on Facebook. She goes, "Oh my god, I absolutely love Cortana. I use this thing all the time." And we were talking about
on the desktop.
Yeah, on the desktop, and we had this discussion like, who's going to really use it on the desktop? People are.
By the way, this is semi-related, but I was just thinking. I just did this the other night. I don't. Did you get a new Apple TV?
I had not gotten a new Apple TV yet.
So this is like the type of thing. I always mean to write this kind of thing up. I think of it as like a 28 days later kind of thing. But, you know, the more you use things, the more things change. And things that, you know, you kind of glossed over before start to become more annoying. And I think with the Apple TV, the new Apple TV, that the vision of this thing is still some future thing. And that the reality of it today is that it's just a very minor update to what came before. But the worst part about it is that little touch part of the top of the interface. And God help you if you ever have to type anything in with that thing, because you overshoot the letters all the time. And it's really hard to navigate inside of videos, you know, to scrub through it and find the exact point you're trying to get to. It's too sensitive, and it's just not a good interface for TV, you know, and it kind of ruins the whole experience. Well, that and the fact that there are no apps that are useful at all. But the side effect of that is, like with Amazon Fire TV, you can hold down on the microphone button, you can talk to it. In this case, you're talking to Siri. And actually, that works really well. And I normally don't like talking to the TV or to to any electronics, really, other than to swear at them when they don't work. But because the touch control on the remote is so shitty, I actually do like talking to Siri on the Apple TV.
I would have loved it if Siri was self-aware. I would love for Siri to be self-aware of who's using it. And yeah. They're like, hey, Siri, put on this. And he goes, sorry, Paul, I'm just an oversized iPhone. I can't do that for you, Paul.
Suck at the rut.
Yeah.
You're going to watch an Apple keynote event first.
That would be so amazing. By the way, we are on the Apple TV. If you guys have a new Apple TV, we have an app there. You can watch us live right now on the Apple TV.
What is the app called?
GFK Network.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
I heard that Amazon is coming soon. That will be big. But I still feel like if they got Google Play on there,
okay,
and they got Microsoft stuff, which would be amazing. All of a sudden, you would have this one device that does everything, and then I would put up the remote. I'd be happy to use that thing. But as of today, like it's just not. It's very Apple-centric.
It is. You know? It's still Apple-centric. I mean, they're adding a bunch of apps, and that was a problem with Amazon. With Amazon Fire,
check back, and it's garbage.
Listen, I absolutely love the Amazon Fire, but the problem that I had with it was the lack of applications and the lack of an app store. They still don't have an app store. It's pretty convoluted how you search for apps on there. They have like a top 10, and it's like really all over the place. They need to do a better job at that, and I think they are in the coming years. But they do not have a lot of applications. Over the last, I want to say, 6 months, they've been aggressively pushing out applications for this thing. Yeah. And that's great, but it doesn't help with the initial experience that I've had with it. With that said, that's what I use in my bedroom because it's the fastest device that I have, and I actually have gotten really used to the device. So I don't plan on switching from it. And now I'm already engulfed in the Amazon Prime experience where I've purchased a whole ton of stuff, and I really don't think I want to leave and go to, Apple now.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I've got stuff in every ecosystem, and you get into a goofy thing where you're like, I know I bought this movie, where is it? And it would be kind of nice if you had one device that had access to all your services, and then voice or typing, whatever, you could search for the thing and just play it, and who cares where it is.
I'm still amazed that certain things are not on. I bought this indie documentary the other day, and the only place I could it was actually interesting. It was about cam girls and their life.
Okay.
And like what
cam,
led.
Cam girls?
Yeah, I forgot the name of the documentary. John Suncast would know it. I interviewed like a cam model a couple years ago. Yeah. And she was in the movie. So she sent me, she's like, hey, this is the movie I'm in if you want to talk about it. It's like months ago. And I never did it. And just like, oh, we should watch that movie. It's actually interesting. And it's about their lives as like cam models.
Yeah,
and it's like really bizarre. It was actually done pretty well. I mean, it was a pretty decent documentary. But the only place that you could get it was on Vimeo.
Vimeo.
So sure. I had to download the Vimeo app, give Vimeo my credit card information, purchase it on Vimeo, and I was like, this is so convoluted. Like, why wouldn't this be on Amazon?
That's funny.
And it was like a well done documentary. It wasn't like a rinky dink, some guy is making this. It was actually done. It was done really well. No, I don't know if that was the name, John. I got to check the name. So, I don't know. It's still all over the place. Something else I wanted to talk to you about, since we're on the the PC conversation here. How do you like that Kangaroo PC?
So
now you have a review on Therat.com about it.
Yeah. The funny thing about it is, before I went on a trip, and I think it was not the Europe trip, it might have been Las Vegas, it was some time ago, this thing was announced, the Kangaroo PC. It's like a $99 computer. It looks like a deck of cards. It has a dock that has expandability on it, but it's $99. And I'm thinking, HP Stream 11 class hardware, but without the screen, keyboard, and mouse. Interesting. So I kind of knee-jerk just bought it, and I never really got around to writing it up. And then last week, when I was kind of laid low a little bit, I'm going through my office here. I said, I gotta get going with this thing. And I really wasn't expecting much from it. I thought I was going to say, what are you expecting? You're going to get for $99, And, on the face of things, it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a $99 computer. It's an Atom-based 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, which is eMMC. It has a little dock. Yeah, you can plug in HDMI out, you know, full size, USB 2, USB 3, and power. It has micro SD on the side of the device for expansion if you want that. And that dock does come with it. $99. And you're like, okay, I mean, that right there for certain people, you want a computer out in the living room.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I still sort of feel for the typical, you know, home computing scenarios that a little laptop makes a lot of sense. You get an HP Stream 11 for, you know, under $200. I mean, it's a no-brainer. But here's the thing. It has a couple of features that are really cool, that are just kind of crazy and don't even need to be on it. One of them is it has a fingerprint reader, and it's Windows 4.
Does it really?
So, yes. And so actually that's really cool because you can sign in without having to type a password. So you can just press your finger on it. It's not like a swipe. You just press it on and it logs you into it. Wonderful. Really, really nice. Completely unnecessary. The other thing they have is some software, and the software runs on an iPod, or I'm sorry, well, I guess it would run an iPod, but really an iPad. I tested it on an iPad mini, but obviously it works on a full-size iPad. And then you run the software, the server software on the computer itself. And the iPad becomes the screen for the device. It becomes a touch screen for the device. And because you can move the pointer around, right? Use it as a mouse. And of course you can use the virtual keyboard and you can type with it. And so the only issue is it has to be connected with a cable. So you have to have the lightning cable, but this is kind of like that final step sort of thing where, you know, for whatever reason you might, and I'm sorry, I should add the third thing it has, it's crazy, is it has a battery. And so you could unplug it from the power and use it for, I think, up to 4 hours. I've not
Nothing crazy, line. Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting about that is two things. One, you could use it around, that means you could use it around the house. And you could buy another dock for $40 or $30, whatever the price is. You could have a dock upstairs on your, you know, keyboard, mouse, whatever setup. You could have a dock at work, you know, and you could just bring the thing around and you could bring it from home, bring it to work. It's a little portable computer. It also means that if you're out on the go and maybe you just normally have your iPhone with you in this case, or maybe an iPad, you bring an iPad, whatever it is, and some work related thing happens and there's something that you have to do to a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet or some work related thing, whatever that requires PC software, plug in your iPad, your iPhone, whatever. And you have a real computer there, and you can use it for like 4 hours and get work done on it. And I don't personally need it. And like I said, I still think for like a lot of people, you know, normal people with kids and things, you know, a little Stream laptop makes a lot more sense. But it's so unique and innovative in its own way. It's $99. I mean,
so it's the Atom processor, 1.44 gigahertz Atom X5 processor, two gigs of RAM, Windows 10, Intel HD graphics. So if you compare this to the compute stick, the Intel compute stick, is it better?
It's better.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. And the reason it's a lot better is because, you know, a compute stick is something you're either going to leave on a TV and use it for some reason as like a overpowered Roku kind of thing. Or you're going to stick it in a bag and bring it with you when you go to like a hotel or something, in which case you're still going to be fussing around with all kinds of stuff. The thing that's better about this, yeah, it's a little bigger, but you have that expansion capability. Very easy to plug in standard parts to use. I mean, it has Bluetooth, of course. You can do that kind of stuff as well. But if for some reason you need to, you can just plug in like a 2 terabyte hard drive to it very easily. I know the computer stick has, you know, one USB port on it.
Yeah,
whatever,
but this one has multiple. You know, the con is it's not as small, but... You know what I wonder?
It's battery powered. If the thing ever becomes unplugged, it's no problem. You know, the compute stick falls out. You know, the plug falls out. It's over. I think it's a lot more versatile. And I think we get a little too hung up on smallness, thinness, whatever. Where this thing is not. It's not big. It's really, it's the size of a phablet phone. It's just a little thicker. It's not a big device.
So here's a question for you, Paul. As far as watching, let's say I want to use this as my media center device. You know? How capable is it of running, you know, 1080p video streaming content? Oh,
perfectly well. That's
perfectly
no problem.
Fine. I wonder how this would do with like a Skype machine, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting. Yeah.
Did you try it with Skype?
No, I obviously for the podcast, you know, I try to use the most powerful computer I have at home. It's always going to be an i7. Surface Book that I've been using lately is obviously an i7 as well. i5 is fine. This thing is, it would probably work. I mean,
I would love to try it out with you one day.
You'd have to connect you'd have to bring a camera. You know, you've, now you're talking about you have to have a camera of some kind, kind of thing. I'm not really sure. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, there are two
like
scenarios.
Kind of just walk around with it and use it as a...
Yeah, so like maybe you need like a little Skype machine,
camera.
You know? You know what you could technically do? This thing is crazy if it works well. Like if you're doing like an on-the-go thing, connect the webcam to it, mount it to like a selfie stick.
Yeah.
Have like one of those 4G, you know, connected... Does it have, it has Wi-Fi, right?
Yep.
Okay, so it'll go off your hotspot on your phone via Wi-Fi, and now you're on the go. Like, you know, I think something like that is pretty cool. I'd like to try that out with you to see how capable this thing is. Because right now, what we're doing for the Skype machines, we're using these like old, you know, they're kind of a couple of years old. They're these AMD quad core machines, like Gateways and HPs.
These
things are big. They're loud. They get hot. My server room's on like on fire. It's tremendously warm in my basement. I never have to turn the heat on because these computers are heating the place up. How great would it be if I could just replace these machines with something like this?
Yeah.
You know, it's a different time we're in. Software requires a lot less work. The other thing I was thinking, this would be a phenomenal media center device.
Potentially. I think the one thing I would say is, you know, this thing it connects to the TV. So you're going to have like a HDMI cable involved here. You don't want to run it across the room. I mean, ideally what this thing is doing is sitting under your TV somewhere.
Yeah, put it in the cabinet and you're good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but ideally what you would have is some kind of remote control and then whatever software you're using where it would work correctly. I mean, the way it is now, what you'd probably want to do is have a Bluetooth mouse. And, you know, it would work. I mean, you need a surface you could move the mouse around on and you could interact up on the screen. But, you know, the PC is still like the one thing you could run everything on, right? It could have Netflix on there, Hulu, iTunes, the Amazon software is available on the PC. I mean, everything is on the PC. Microsoft stuff is on the PC, right? The Groove and the movie and TV app. It's all there. And it's kind of cool. I mean, like it's a little using a mouse instead of a remote control from your living, you know, the couch in the living room is not necessarily ideal, but for people who prefer to do things that way, why not? I mean, it's got a USB 3 port on it. You can throw a huge hard drive on there if you want. It would work.
Yeah. I'm going to contact these guys to see if they would send me a review unit, because I would love to talk about this on the air.
See how it works.
Yeah, to see how it works with Skype, because this may be a very good option for podcasters. You know, not a heavy-duty, high-quality production, but people that are just doing Skype calls and need multiple lines, $100 for a PC, not a bad idea.
Right.
I think it's pretty cool. I was really interested. When I saw it on your website, I was really interested. Something else this week that I saw that was fascinating was that Amazon Prime drone video. Did you see that?
Yeah.
The Prime Air with Jeremy Clarkson?
I didn't watch it, but
you got to watch the video. It's actually done really well because Jeremy Clarkson's in it and him explaining anything is phenomenal.
Oh, does he punch anyone in the face?
No, but he's so condescending. It's phenomenal.
Sure.
So he does this video and they're showing how this thing is working. And something that I picked up from the video that they hadn't discussed. So do you know how it knows where to land? Mm. So you put like a little pad outside.
Nice.
Like with the Amazon logo. So what they did, find a clear area like in your backyard and put this thing down there and it'll calculate, like it'll know like, okay, that's where I'm going. So I wonder if it like pings it. Or just looking for like an Amazon thing. But it flies like 500-600 feet in the air.
Sure.
So it's clearing, you know, power lines and everything.
I can't wait to shoot one of these things out of the sky.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see these things buzzing around. I actually, last year when we discussed this, I thought this was not going to happen for the next 10 years. This thing is very realistically going to happen. The only problem is right now it only goes up to 15 miles. So think of it has to go back and forth. So you got about 7 miles back and forth.
Yeah, sure.
Of it traveling. But you got like 30 minutes
it's
service.
It's like battery life on phones. They'll figure it out.
I wonder what this does to UPS.
Now
they're going after UPS and FedEx. I wonder how this impacts their business.
I mean, everyone, assuming drones are kind of a viable delivery method, which I'm actually not 100% convinced of. They'll have to get into this game because obviously the ability to get around traffic and stuff is what kind of makes it happen. I wouldn't be surprised if it was you have packages that are, you know, have to be delivered by a certain time on a certain day. The truck knows, you know, by driving around where it is on its delivery schedule, you know, they could potentially just send drones from the road to deliver certain packages that wouldn't otherwise make it, kind of thing. It could be like a last ditch
effort to get it out
to the holidays
to you,
or whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, I have here in New York, we have, they just expanded, they had it in Manhattan for a while, but they just expanded it to the outer boroughs in the suburbs. And now we have Amazon same day delivery. So I've been playing around with this to see how close I could get it to, like, what's the shortest time frame I could get it. I could order something at 1 p.m. and it'll be at my house by 5:30. So about 4.5 hours. I think that's pretty good.
So I just had this conversation with my wife. There is no doubt. There is no doubt that even without same day delivery, if you just kind of look, the ability to you know, I use the example in the kitchen. We have a like a Chromecast kind of thing sitting on a radio. And I was like, imagine we needed a cable for that thing, right? I could go to Amazon right now, find the exact cable. It could be here tomorrow, you know, free shipping because we have Prime. Amazing. It's an amazing capability. And back in the day, not that there were Chromecasts back in the day, but if you needed something like that, you would go, you would get in the car and you would drive to a local Best Buy if there was one. If you go back further in time, maybe you would drive to, in this area, like a Leechmere's type store, a Radio Shack, a, you know, whatever, like local electronics thing. You'd have to deal with people. You'd have to deal with crowds. You'd have to deal with traffic, you know, all this kind of stuff. There's no doubt that this is an advantage. It's a huge improvement. But there is also something that's lost, isn't there? You know, like the fact that, like, we get so lazy about this stuff. Like, the notion of leaving the house becomes, like, a huge inconvenience.
Like, oh, man, I don't want to go down.
Like, I don't want to, you know.
Radio Shack going out of business was horrible because I never realized how important they were until they were gone, right? Like, everyone's like, who needs a Radio Shack? Do you know how many times I had to get something last minute? Like a last minute thing. I just, you know, last year I got this new TV. I had to make a trip out to Radio Shack twice because I needed an optical cable and I didn't have one and I wanted to set up the sound bar now. I didn't want to wait a day. So I went to Radio Shack and got an optical cable. I had to get batteries. It was 6:30 at night and I needed to go get batteries. I just drove to Radio Shack because it was right around the corner from me and got batteries.
Bookstores are like this. Not that you ever have like an emergency book need, but I mean, the ability to go out and get something right then is often kind of cool.
That's exactly my point. When last minute purchases, you know, that you need.
Or just, not even, like, last minute is a tough term, but it's just like, you know, imagine I was building this desk and there was one screw missing. You know?
Yeah. Where do you go?
I mean, the ability to go somewhere into a hardware store in Dedham or whatever and just pick up the exact screw is kind of amazing. But when those things all get knocked out of business, you know, the ability to get that exact screw from Amazon tomorrow is awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not always exactly what you want. And it's not, you know, wonderful benefit of having that ability has also taken its toll, you know, on other things.
Yeah, it's fascinating how it's changed. But, I mean, this is why we're able to do Amazon same-day purchases. I needed a BNC connector, Paul. I needed, like, a BNC BNC, female to female extender.
It's always something
extender.
Like that. It's very
Who
very
needs
specific.
That? Yeah, like, where am I going to get that? You know what? Radio Shack carried it.
I was going to say, there was a plastic bin in Radio Shack that had a bunch of those things in it, you know, right next to realistic cassette tapes and old Tandy parts. But, sure. I mean, when those things go away, you miss them. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Fascinating. So, Paul, let's talk about the PC study next week. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. So, next Friday and Saturday at the Dedham Hilton, which is right down the street from my house here, I'm doing a study. I can't really give you too many details because there'll be a reveal for people to go to it. I'll talk about it afterwards, but basically what people are going to be doing is comparing two computers side by side. It's about 40 minutes long, but we're going to have prizes. You know, people can win an Xbox One. I think it's the Halo Edition one. There's a Dell XPS 13 laptop. And we're going to use some big displays during the study, and we're going to give those away at the end as well. We're looking for a diverse kind of set of people. I don't want all, like, kind of nerdy guys like me, but you know, men of any, women of any age, children age 16 plus, non-technical, technical, whatever. We're looking for, you know, a mix. And, you know, there are available time slots. And so each day it's from 9 to 6. And there's, like, it's, you know, our slots, but it's really 40 minutes of study, you know, starting at 9 a.m. And so if you're in the Boston area and would like to participate, I'm actually probably going to give away, I should say, I will give away, not that this will be fun for everybody, but I'll give away the Windows 10 book that I just wrote to everybody who participates as well. But if you're interested in participating, please contact me via email so we can get you scheduled, you know, over those two or whatever slot you want over those 2 days, and I'll send you the information. But my email is my first name at my last name, so paul@thurott.com, T-H-U-R-R-O-T-T.
Excellent. Very exciting stuff. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I wish I could join. I wish I could hang out there.
You should come up. You should come up for it.
Yeah, when is it? Next week?
Friday and Saturday.
Next Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, not this Friday.
The following Friday.
Friday, yeah.
You know what? That actually sounds like a really nice weekend trip. Let me see. What's
the Dedham Hilton is almost walkable from my house.
So what is that, the 11th and the 12th?
Yep.
Oh, that sounds... You know what? Let me talk to Jess.
Yeah.
I would actually... Yeah, that would be a fun little trip out there. Everybody could touch my hair and touch my eyebrows and see that I'm a real boy. I'm a real boy, damn it. So also, you're building a new PC, which we're going to be talking over the next couple of weeks about this, because I love building new PCs. I mean, that's seriously one of the things that I absolutely love doing. Some people find it really
horrible. I haven't done this in a while.
You know? I love doing it.
I know you were just doing this.
Yeah, I do it once a year.
Oh. I mean, I was talking about doing this early in the year, and I've gotten sidetracked by just all the stuff that's been going on. But for the past month or so, maybe more than a month, I've been using the Surface Book here at home and on the road. I turned off my desktop computer, which is probably 3.5. It's probably going to be 4 years old this spring, but it's an i7. It's very high-end and would probably work fine for years to come. But with the stuff that happened with Surface Book, I thought, you know, maybe I need to go back to my original plan here, which is to build my, you know, build my own computer for the home. And so I'll replace my desktop computer, you know, with whatever the, you know, modern gen,
the latest i7, and the greatest
16 gigs, you know, of RAM and, you know, on and on and on. But
I'm going to tell you right now, you are not going to notice a tremendous difference.
Here's the difference I'm hoping to notice.
What are you hoping
to
notice?
Honestly, it's not day-to-day performance. Cause like I said, I think for the types of productivity things that I do on a computer, what I have now is fine. What I would like is something that's quiet.
Okay, your thing is really loud. So you're going to go liquid cooling.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I want to talk about. Yeah, I would imagine that would be the case.
Yeah,
but coincidentally, my friend John just bought a new computer. He bought a Dell. He had a very crazy for the day high-end Dell computer that he had nothing but problems with. So naturally, he bought another Dell. But this time, what he did was he bought kind of a mid-level model. It was just an i5. It does have 8 gigs of RAM. It's, you know, had like a terabyte hard drive in it. You know, for him, it's everything that he needs. And I came over just to kind of help him with it last night. And as it turned out, he really didn't need my help at all. It was very easy to set up. But the one thing that really struck me about this computer was how quiet it was. I was like, I really need that. And it goes with this new desk setup that I'm kind of working on. For now, at least, I have... The computer is up on the desk because, you know, when you think about a standing desk, it's going to go up and down. And I guess I could mount it under the desk, and maybe I will.
I got to show you. I got to show you the case I got. The case I didn't go with like a full size tower. I always go with like a full tower, and they're like ridiculously big, and you don't need it. I got like this thing is like a box.
I'm thinking about like a shuttle type box.
Yeah, almost, so mine is almost like that, but a little bigger.
Is it squarish or is it
it's
more of a
square?
Tower?
No. It's squarish, but it's not like squarish to the point with like a handle I can walk around with. It's not like small like that. It's still big, but it did clear up some space here. But it is super quiet. This parts that I put in this thing, I have, you know, the latest. I actually went with a Haswell E chip Intel processor instead of going with the latest one because these are faster. These are actually better. The Haswell E's are better than the current whatever the current one is.
Skylake.
Yeah, Skylake E is coming out next year, and I couldn't wait till next year. But I put, you know, I did liquid cooling on this thing. I made sure that the fans are quiet. I upgraded everything, you know, as far as like the stock case fans go.
Right.
I spent about $1,000, a little over $1,000. And the thing is phenomenal. It's a great machine. No problems.
What I want to do is, I will get an ice. I'll probably just get Skylake, whatever.
You'll be fine with Skylake.
Yeah, I think I'll be fine with it. But the things that I care about, like, for example, I don't think I need at all any kind of a video card of any shape or size or whatever. I'm not going to ever play games.
Paul, they're so inexpensive now. You might as well.
I know, but it's another thing with a potential fan on it and more power draw and whatever. What I'm really interested in doing is the, you know, the M2, I think it's called M2 style SSD, like the...
Yeah, the super fast like SSDs,
PCIe, you know, little card kind of thing.
Now, those things are unbelievably fast. I mean, it's ridiculous how fast those things are. You have to get a motherboard that supports it.
Right. And this is a big... This is what I mean. I'm sort of starting this the thinking and conversation around this because I'd like to have no fixed disk in it. Like, I just want SSD... If I could get away, seriously, if it made sense and I could do it, I would not even get a video card. Just use whatever the graphics were. It's almost like laptop componentry, really. Just high-end laptop componentry, I guess.
No, I got it.
So anyway, I got to figure this out. This is something I touched on earlier in the year. I kind of thought about it. I got a bunch of feedback from people. I got some good advice for the time. But of course, the processor gen has shifted. The storage stuff in particular has changed, and storage, you know, it gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and better and better and better. So I want to just kind of modernize all that stuff.
I'm going to tell you something to kind of lure you into actually getting a real video card. The new video cards now, the fan doesn't run constantly. The way that they work is because they're able to cool much better. So it's running constantly at like 20% efficiency. As far as the fans go. So the fans are either spinning very low or they're not even spinning at all. They only work when they're needed. I kind of didn't like that because I do some heavy duty video stuff and I was using an AMD. Yeah. I was using the AMD 380, the R9 380. And I noticed that the fan is not spinning. And I was like, wow, that's no matter how much I would use it, you know, I could do full, you know, benchmarking and it was still not spinning as fast as I would like it to. It ended up being that it's the drivers that they put out, the Crimson drivers, the new AMD drivers. They're not doing the Catalyst anymore. They're doing Crimson. And there was some problems with that. So I'm going to try, you know, using it again to see if that helps. But they've gotten so much better with the video cards. You don't even notice that the fans are spinning anymore. It's really...
I better not, Andrew, because
I'm
very sensitive to...
So I have something I want to review here for everybody. I want to unbox, and I just got it. It's that $34 Fire tablet from Amazon. I ordered a bunch of these for the family. So I want to review this. I want to, you know, do like a little unboxing of it. But I want to see how I could do it. Should I do it for the post show, and I'll release this for everybody afterwards?
Okay.
You know, everybody could watch it. Maybe I could do that. Right. Might be fun. We could put it online and do like a whole unboxing and Paul could ask me a whole bunch of questions because I'm really curious on how this is. I bought a whole bunch for the family, but I have no idea if this is even a decent buy at $34. Now it's $49.99, but you never know. You know, you're thinking, well, it's Amazon. How bad could it be? Well, it could be horrible.
Well, it could be pretty bad.
It could be pretty bad. So you know what we'll do? We'll do that right after this. We'll do it on the post show. We'll talk about it. We'll do a whole unboxing, and I'll release that on YouTube and, of course, on the Patreon page. But it'll be open for everybody. Everybody could see it. We'll do that. That might be the best way to do this. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I the thing is, you know, there's a bunch of things to look at. It's going to be the quality of the screen, right? It's probably pretty low res. Just the general performance. I know they've changed the UI for this gen. I assume – no, I'm wrong. They have microSD expansion, and that alone is very interesting. So I think, you know, for the price, this is I can't imagine it's actually that bad for the price, you know.
I mean, how bad could it be for $34? Or how good could it be for $34?
Yeah,
we don't know.
That's the thing.
So
and
I
if
actually,
something goes south, you give this to a kid and something goes south, who cares? It was $34.
Who cares? It was $34. Yeah. So we're going to do that after this. We'll do it. I got to just move some cameras around because I did not remember that I was doing this. I put in the notes, but I had no idea that I was going to do this today. So I'll just move some cameras around, and we'll do that in the post show. Sure. And maybe, you know what we could do? We could also maybe add this to the other part. I don't know. We'll figure something out. We'll do it that way. So, Paul, what do you have coming up? Anything?
All right.
Anything new? What are you doing? Anything? What's going on?
No, I'm just trying to survive at this point. I'm sick for so long. I'm so tired. No, I mean, I'm coming to New York soon, but that's not until – when is that? That's mid-month, isn't it? Like 16th, so – we haven't really announced details about this yet, but in a little over 2 weeks, we're doing a live Windows Weekly from the Microsoft store.
Yes, I will be producing it, it seems like.
Yeah, and we need to get together and kind of figure out what we want to do is invite people to come, but I think there's going to be a limit on how many people can be there because of the size of the space, and so I'm not sure what our plans are yet to facilitate this, so I don't want people just to show up quite yet, but I mean, soon we'll be able to talk about that. So maybe next week we'll have more information.
Yeah. So I'm in this the email going back and forth. So I have to get in touch with Alex to see how it's going to work because I actually wanted to bring like the real cameras, like these cameras.
Yeah.
So I'm going to probably drive down there and just bring like the equipment to the store. Wow, right. Yeah, and then I'll just bring like you know. The microphone, and then Chris will bring his mixer like he did last time, and then we'll set up like the camera. So it's like a real camera. It doesn't, you know, I thought I'd make it special. Might as well do something special for Paul. That's my gift for you.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward. I've never seen the store yet. So I've in fact, on the last trip, I think I had pinged both you and Mary Jo, and I was like, hey, I'm over on the other side of town. I'm heading to Rattle and Hum. Does this make sense for me to go to the Microsoft store? And Mary Jo was like, no, wait until you'll see it when you come out for the next thing. So this will be the first time.
Very, very cool. It'll be very cool. I haven't been there either, so it'll be my first time too. We could hold hands. It'll be wonderful. Go to our website, gfqnetwork.com. Guys, subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. If you're using a Windows phone, search everything except for What the Tech. Look up Andrew Zarian. Look up GFQ Network. I don't know if Paul Thurrott works. Everything works except for What the Tech. If you look for What the Tech, there is nothing.
Oh, that's not right.
For some. Well, others...
Okay, by the way, I have a better bit of advice.
Okay.
If you're using Windows Phone, don't use the built-in podcast app. Use Pocket Casts.
Pocket Cast is amazing, yeah.
And that will work, won't it?
It should work.
Just use Pocket Cast. Pocket Cast is a great app, and it syncs your subscriptions to the cloud. If you use an Android device, you can it goes back and forth. I don't know if it's on iOS, maybe it is, but I know it's on Windows Phone and Android, and it's awesome. Just use Pocket Cast. I think you have to buy it. It's not expensive. It's probably $5 or something, but that's a great app. That solves the problem on Windows Phone nicely, I bet.
Please subscribe. I have a child on the way, guys. It helps.
Sure.
I got 3 weeks left. Subscribe, please. Go to website gfknetwork.com. Of course, go to Thurrott.com. Everything Paul Thurrott, everything he's doing there. Also, Paul does a phenomenal podcast called Windows Weekly with Mary Jo Foley and Leah Laporte. You can catch it live every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. East on the Twit Network. Of course, on-demand programming also on Thurrott.com. You can download it there. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Paul at Thurrott. If you're watching this live, stay tuned. I'm going to do an unboxing of this Fire tablet, and I'll give you an honest first impression. If it sucks, I'll tell you. If it's great, I'll tell you, bye for everybody in your family. And that's it, guys. We'll see you all next week. Take care.